Let's turn to John chapter 13 in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, the New Testament. In this chapter, Yeshua tells his disciples some very troubling things. One of them will betray him. Peter will deny him. He will leave them. They will not be able to follow him. They are to humbly serve each other and love each other. We have been walking with Yeshua through the book of John. We're at the end of the life of the most important man who ever lived. That man is also the Messiah and the Son of God and the one and only Savior of all of humanity, and able to rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. It's Yeshua's very last day on earth. It's a very special day. It's the first day of Passover. It's the day that Messiah will die a very special death as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That makes this day one of the most important days in human history. Yeshua will eat a final meal, a Passover Seder, with his most important followers, his key men, the men he will entrust with his ongoing mission of world salvation. He will pray. He will teach them. He will be arrested. He will be tried. He will be tortured. He will be crucified. All during this 24-hour period. During the meal, Yeshua will give his disciples his final teachings. John, the author of our book, wants us to know that God the Father had made it clear to Yeshua that he was about to die and that his death would be followed by resurrection and ascension. John chapter 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover holiday. Yeshua knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Someone who knows he's about to die may begin to do things which have been uncharacteristic of him during his life, but things he really wanted to do all along. He may repudiate his core principles. He may engage in illegal activities, illicit pleasures, abandon his family and friends. Not Yeshua. John wants us to know that to the very end, Yeshua was steadfast to his principles and committed to his friends. Having loved his own, John writes, his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In his very final hours, Yeshua was there for the men he loved. He was committed to them, loving them, helping them, teaching them, preparing them, serving them, praying for them. God was at work bringing the life of Yeshua to a preordained goal. The adversary, who is real, was also at work advancing his agenda to kill the Son of God. And Satan had prepared a man for the task. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Yeshua. John wants us to know that not only did Yeshua know he was about to die, Yeshua knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Messiah understood that he was no ordinary human being. He knew he was the divine Son of God. He knew he existed with God the Father before he arrived on earth. He knew he would return to his Father, the High King of Heaven, after his death, and he would be the son of the high king of heaven, where he would rule over all things, all forces, all powers, all creatures. Yeshua knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So even though he knew that he was the Lord of all things, he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Those who are the most powerful often choose easy, pleasurable, honorable tasks for themselves, and they delegate the difficult, unpleasant, dishonorable tasks to others. Not Yeshua. Even though he knew he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he did what an ordinary servant would do, wash the feet of the guests. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, became a servant. The one who is the Most High lowered himself, humbled himself. You know, that is so unlike us. It's amazing. One of those present did not like what his esteemed rabbi was doing. Yeshua came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Peter knew Yeshua was his superior. He believed Yeshua was his rabbi and Messiah and Lord, and objected to Yeshua washing his feet. Yeshua never backed down, ever, when he was opposed by powerful leaders or when he was criticized by one of his own disciples. Yeshua replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Yeshua insisted on washing Peter's feet, and he told Peter that what seemed wrong to him then would be understood by Peter in the future, when he would have a greater understanding of who Yeshua is, and when Peter would also have a greater understanding of the need for Yeshua's followers to be humble servant leaders. Yeshua's response did not satisfy his disciple Peter. Peter just knew that it was wrong for the Lord Messiah to wash his feet. Peter knew better than Yeshua and remained adamantly opposed to Yeshua's desire to wash his feet. "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." But you know what? Yeshua is never wrong. He is wiser and he is tougher than any of his disciples, even someone as tough as Simon Peter. Yeshua answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Yeshua was teaching Peter a couple of things. First, the disciple does not tell his rabbi and Lord what to do. Yeshua is in control. He's in charge. He calls the shots. It's his way or the highway. Second, Yeshua was teaching Peter that we get dirty and we do need to be washed, and only Yeshua can wash us. And he insists on washing us, or he will not accept us. We will have no part of him. He will have no part of us. Peter backed down. If Yeshua insisted he must be washed, then Peter wanted to go all the way and be completely washed from head to foot. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "it's not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." I like this about Peter. His passion, his boldness, His outspokenness, his enthusiasm. Yeshua used Peter's enthusiastic response to teach all of the disciples another lesson. Yeshua answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. The person who bathes, then puts on his clothes and sandals and walks on dusty streets only needs for his feet to be washed, not his entire body." Yeshua is teaching us that we live in a spiritually polluted environment. We come into this world with a fallen nature. We are impure. We are unclean. We can become clean, but only by recognizing that Yeshua is the Messiah and making a commitment to follow him. But even though we make that commitment because we are weak and because we live in a polluted environment, it's easy to accumulate spiritual schmutz, spiritual dirt. It's all too easy to sin, to give in to temptation, to miss the mark, to fall short, to fall back into old bad habits and wrong ways of thinking and acting. All too easy. When that happens, we are to ask Yeshua to forgive us, and he promises to cleanse us from all of our sins, all of our impurities, all of our moral and spiritual filth. Christians and Messianic Jews who become spiritually clean when they make that initial commitment to the Messiah will need periodically to be cleansed of their sins. We will need Yeshua to wash us. Therefore, we must remain loyal to Yeshua and close to Yeshua so we can receive ongoing forgiveness from Yeshua. That is the way to maintain spiritual purity in a spiritually polluted world. Throughout history, many people have been betrayed by someone they trusted. The betrayal can make those who are betrayed look like a fool. After all, they should have known better. They should not have trusted the traitor. They should have seen it coming. John wants us to know that Yeshua was not deceived. He was no fool. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. John wants us to know that Yeshua was not surprised by the betrayal of Judas. He knew Judas was a traitor. He knew that was part of God's plan for him to be betrayed by Judas, which is why he did not expose the traitor in their midst. After finishing washing their feet, Yeshua reinforced the lesson on being humble servant leaders. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me Rabbi and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and Rabbi, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Human nature is damaged. It is fallen. We are selfish. We are controlling. We try to control others for our benefit. We try to use others for our benefit. Yeshua wants us to be different, to be like him, to give, not take, to bless, not use, to serve, not control. If our rabbi and Lord, who is the highest and the greatest, can humble himself and serve us like this, we can change our self-serving orientation, humble ourselves, and begin to serve others. Yeshua insists we follow his example. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Messiah does not want us to think that this lesson in humility and servant leadership does not apply to us. It does apply to us. Yeshua is the master. We are his servants. He's the one who sends us. We are the ones who are sent. If Yeshua, who is greater than us, humbled himself to serve us, we are to do the same thing. And he tells us if we do, we will be blessed. We will be more like him. We will be better off. We will be more advantaged, not less advantaged. Again, Yeshua told them that he was about to be betrayed and that he knew the identity of the traitor. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. Quoting from the Psalms, just as King David was a righteous man, who was surrounded by deadly enemies and was betrayed by someone close to him, so was the son of David, King Yeshua. He went on, I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Again, Yeshua was not taken by surprise by Judas's betrayal. He could have prevented it, but he did not, since he knew that was part of God's plan, which would bring him to the appointed time and place of his death, which is what God wanted. Yeshua wants his disciples to be humble servants. And at the same time, he wants us to know that we are in a position of spiritual authority. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. It is very, very special to be a follower of Yeshua. I think we don't realize how special it is to be a real Christian, a real messianic Jew. We are Yeshua's representatives in this world. There's a divine chain of command. God the Father is supreme. The Father is equal to the Son in nature, but superior to the Son in authority. The Father sends the Son. The Son, the Messiah, is superior to us in nature and in authority. And he sends us, Christians and Messianic Jews, to represent him in this world. Every Christian, every Messianic Jew is in a position of spiritual authority in the sense that we represent the Son of God to those around us. We might not be a great apostle or prophet or evangelist or rabbi or missionary, but each one of us is Yeshua's representative in this world to those we come in contact with. That's very special. To welcome, accept, believe, to treat well one of Yeshua's representatives is to welcome, accept, believe, treat well Yeshua himself. And to accept Yeshua is to accept God the Father who sent him. And the opposite is true. To reject one of Yeshua's representatives is to reject Yeshua. And to reject Yeshua is to reject God. Again, Yeshua knew that not everyone eating at that Passover table was one of his true followers or representatives. After he had said this, Yeshua was troubled in spirit. He was upset, troubled. And he testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His awareness that Judas would betray him troubled him, bothered and upset him a lot. It was upsetting to have a traitor, a deadly enemy, in their midst. Again, Yeshua knew the identity of the traitor, but none of the disciples did. The disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Yeshua loved, was reclining next to Yeshua. The disciple whom Yeshua loved, not mentioned by name, but John is referring to himself. He was there. He was too humble to mention himself by name. He identifies himself as the disciple whom Yeshua loved. He identifies himself by his relationship to Yeshua, which lets us know something really important, that John was close to Yeshua, that Yeshua had a very special affection for John, the disciple whom Yeshua loved. We can learn something from the way John identifies himself as the disciple who Yeshua loved, that the core of our identity needs to be formed by our relationship to Yeshua. Let me repeat that. The core of our identity, how we understand ourselves, how we see ourselves, should be formed by our relationship to Yeshua. He is the most important thing about us. Not our wealth, not our job, not our career, not our achievements, not our family. The most important thing about us, where we get our deepest sense of self-identity, is our relationship to Yeshua. The more we understand this, the more we will be blessed. One of them, the disciple whom Yeshua loved, was reclining next to Yeshua. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Yeshua, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Yeshua answered, "It's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan, the head of the fallen angels, the prince of darkness, entered into him. This was a decisive moment in Judas's life. It was the culmination of a series of very bad decisions Judas had made. He had gradually been walking down the path of sin and betrayal. Even though he had been following Yeshua, learning from Yeshua, serving Yeshua, Judas was corrupt in his personal life. He was the group's treasurer and had been embezzling their funds. And he had been plotting with Yeshua's enemies to betray Yeshua to them. And the deeper spiritual reality was that while Judas was sinning and planning to betray Yeshua, he was siding more and more with the ultimate enemy, the adversary, the prince of darkness. Sin, corruption, betraying Yeshua in various ways drives out the light and eventually leaves darkness. It eventually leads to an abandonment of Yeshua and an alliance with the devil. Something happens when people eat together. Eating together brings people together. It creates a bond. The disciples were eating Passover food with each other and with Yeshua, thereby bonding themselves closer together. It was a kind of holy communion. But when Judas ate the bread with betrayal in his heart, it was a kind of unholy communion and drew him closer to the adversary. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Yeshua knew that Judas was under the influence of the evil one, and the time was now for Judas to betray him. Again, instead of preventing Judas from betraying him, which he could have done, but was not what God intended, Yeshua gave Judas these instructions. Yeshua told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Yeshua would allow Judas to betray him so that God's plan for Yeshua to die in Jerusalem as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world would not be thwarted. Again, John wants us to know that Yeshua knew the identity of the traitor and why Judas suddenly left. None of the disciples did. No one at the meal understood why Yeshua said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Yeshua was telling him to buy what was needed for the holiday or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. It was night. It was the first night of Passover. But it was a different kind of night in the soul of Judas. The light had gone out of his life. He had corrupted himself and rejected the one who is the light. He had given himself over to the darkness, and it was night. Judas was a religious man. Judas was a follower of Yeshua. Judas was trusted. He was trusted with the responsibility of being the treasurer. Judas was an apostle. Judas did miracles. When the apostles were sent out and proclaimed the good news and did miracles and cast out demons, Judas proclaimed the good news and did miracles and cast out demons. Maybe Judas thought his sin of embezzlement wasn't so bad. He had it under control. It was manageable. Sin has a way of distorting our understanding of who Yeshua is. Judas's thinking about Yeshua became more and more distorted. Maybe he thought that betraying Yeshua to the Jewish leaders was the right thing to do. Of course, it wasn't. The reality was that Judas did not have his sin under control. It was controlling him more and more and more and more until he was under the ultimate control of the Prince of Darkness. If there is sin in your life, be careful about thinking to yourself, "My sin is not so bad. I have it under control. It's manageable." Sin has a way of deceiving us and corrupting us so that it is no longer under our control and we are increasingly under its control. And our thoughts about Yeshua grow dimmer and dimmer. It gets easier and easier to betray him. Stop sinning now while you still can. Avoid the mistakes Judas made. When he was gone, Yeshua said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." What's Yeshua saying? Yeshua knew he was about to die a death that would bring honor to himself and honor to his Father. Honor to his Father because Yeshua was obeying him and fulfilling God's plan to redeem humanity. Honor to himself because of all the great things the Son of God has done, is doing, and will do. Dying on the cross has got to be the greatest thing he has ever done. And that brings him great honor. And Yeshua knew that God would honor him for dying, and God would honor him by raising him from the dead and exalting him above all others. "My children," he said to them, "I will be with you only a little longer." My children. Yeshua's relationship to his disciples is complex. It's described as rabbi to disciple, king, lord, or master to subject, brother to brother, friend to friend. Here's another aspect of our relationship to Yeshua, and that is father to child. Just as a good father loves and cares for and protects and nurtures and teaches and corrects his children, so Messiah relates to us. "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jewish leaders, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Yeshua knew he was about to die. He knew that he would come back to life. He knew that he would return to his Father in heaven, which is a real place. He knew that these men who had been with him for years and sacrificed so much to be with him and followed him everywhere and loved him so much, he knew that they would not be able to accompany him where he was going, into the presence of God the Father. This announcement that he was leaving and they could not follow must have shocked them, upset them, troubled them greatly. In spite of him leaving, they were to stick together, stay committed to each other, and love each other in a whole new way. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Yeshua said this was a new command, love one another. It's not new in the sense of time, because the command to love one another was given earlier in the Torah. But it's new in emphasis, and it's new in extent. It's new in emphasis. We are to reprioritize our religion so that one of our very highest priorities is to love our fellow Christians and Messianic Jews by helping them in spiritual and practical ways. That's one of our highest priorities. And this commandment to love one another is new in extent. We are to love members of Messiah's community like Messiah loved us to the maximum degree possible. Serving them, helping them, doing what's best for them, putting their interests even above our own interests, even being willing to sacrifice our lives for our brothers and sisters as Messiah sacrificed his life for us. Love one another. New command, new in extent, new in emphasis. People in this dog-eat-dog world, don't love this way. They just don't. They are selfish. They look out for themselves. They put their interests above the interests of others. But connected to our living Lord, We are transformed. We get new values, new priorities. We get new power. We become capable of loving others, especially our Christian and Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters, like Yeshua loved us. When we do, the world can't help but notice. People around us will notice that we are different. And they will understand that it's because of Yeshua's influence in our lives. Almost done. Yeshua had told them that he would only be with them a little longer and that he was going where they could not follow, referring to his death and resurrection and ascension. Peter did not understand. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Peter's confusion is understandable. Peter believed Yeshua was the Messiah who was about to claim his kingdom. Where could the Messiah possibly be going? And going without them didn't make sense. Yeshua replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." God is in control of our lives and the number of days we live. And he's in control of our deaths. It was time for Messiah to die and return to the right hand of the High King of Heaven. It was not the time for the disciples to die, and Yeshua knew it. It was God's plan for them to live and take over and expand his ministry of evangelism and teaching and building up his very special community. Peter was confident that he would never abandon Yeshua. He was so committed to Yeshua, so loyal, he would go wherever Yeshua would go. He would be willing to die before ceasing to follow the one he knew was his rabbi and Lord and King. Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." How often, how little we know ourselves. So often we have false ideas about ourselves and who we are and what we are really capable of. Yeshua knew human nature. He knew Peter better than Peter knew himself, just as he knows us better than we know ourselves. Yeshua answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Before the end of the next morning, what a shocking announcement that must have been to Peter and to the others. How it must have upset them, troubled them. Judas will betray Yeshua, and so will Peter. Peter will deny Yeshua not once. You know, if it was once, maybe it was an accident, it was a mistake, it was unintentional. I said something I really didn't mean. Peter will deny Yeshua not once, not twice. Peter will deny Yeshua 3 times with complete intentionality within 12 hours. Peter will recover from his betrayal. He will feel great shame and guilt and will repent. Judas will not recover from his betrayal. If you ever do betray the Lord, and I pray you never do, in a big way or in a series of small ways, make sure you do what Peter did, not Judas. You repent quickly, and you repent genuinely. Amen.